Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to SMRP BV financial results for the period ending December 31st, 2016 call. I have on the call with me Mr. Vipin Jain and Mr. Kunal Malani, who will be taking your questions. Without much delay, I'll request Vipin to jump into the presentation, who will take you through some important highlights and, of course, the key performance of the company in the period. And then we will open up the stage to your questions, and hopefully we'll answer all of them. Vipin, on to you, please.
Thank you, Aman. Good morning, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Vipin Jain, and I am the CFO of the company. I would be making a brief presentation on the consolidated financial result of the company for 9 months ended December 16. The presentation on the result is already uploaded on the company website, and during the call, I would be referring to the same presentation. So I am on slide number 2, and before I get into the detailed financial performance overview, I would like to brief you on 2 important developments which happened in the last quarter. Slide number 2 highlights the acquisition of Kobeck Scheidbroek. This is a small company in Germany which specializes into lighting solutions, which are very much complementary to our components in the automotive industry. This company would be supporting SMP and SMEA in terms of the lighting solutions, and we would be able to deliver much more value-added component to the customer. Purchase consideration of this company was $1.6 million, which was paid on 2nd January 2017, and this acquisition will add technology to a lot of SMP components. The details of product and technology is given on slide number 2, as well as the investment rationale. I move to slide number 3. Slide number 3 gives detail on acquisition of majority control of board of directors in an existing joint venture company, which is named SEFA. There was a board meeting which was held on 20th of December 2016, in which SMRP BV, through its subsidiaries, got the majority control over the board of directors. This JV is held 50% by SMRP BV through its subsidiaries, and there is no change in the shareholding of the company. Till now, this company was consolidated under equity method, but due to the change of control over majority of the board, this company would now be consolidated as subsidiary from 1st of January 2017. For December 31st, we have consolidated only the assets and liabilities position of the company, whereas the revenue and the other P&L item would be consolidated from 1st of January 2017. There was no consideration which was paid for acquiring this control over the board of this company. Slide number 4 talks about the SMRP BV group structure, and we can see a new company under SMP umbrella, which is because of the acquisition of Kobeck Scheidbroek, as I already explained in slide number 2. There is no change in the global presence of SMRP BV. We still have 48 manufacturing plants, 11 module centers operating out of 18 countries with a workforce of 23,400 employees. I am on slide number 6, and slide number 6 represents the revenue and EBITDA of the group for the quarter ended December 2016. We saw another quarter of consistent performance with revenue growth of 12% on a consolidated basis, with SMP growing by 11% and SMR grew by 15% over the quarter 3 of last year. Adjusted EBITDA also grew by 19% on a consolidated basis, with 16% growth coming in SMP and 22% growth coming in SMR business. As a percentage to revenue also, EBITDA improved from 8% to 8.4% on a consolidated basis, and similar improvement was coming in SMP, moving from 6.6 to 6.8%, and SMR moved from 10.7 to 11.4%. We now move to the next slide, slide 7, which again gives a similar overview for the 9 months ended December 16. Here again, we can see a consistent growth of 12% on consolidated basis in revenue, with SMP growing by 12%, SMR also consistently 12%. Adjusted EBITDA grew by 20% on consolidated basis, with growth of 21% coming in SMP business, and SMR business is showing a growth of 18%. As a percentage to revenue also, here on this slide, we can see an improvement from 7.5% to revenue moving to 8%, and again improvement coming in both the businesses, SMP and SMR. Slide number 8 gives detail of adjustment to EBITDA to arrive at our adjusted EBITDA. Adjustments to EBITDA is largely on account of startup cost incurred in setting up of greenfield plant. Currently, we are setting up two greenfield plants, one in Tuscaloosa in US, one in Kecskemét in Hungary, and this is for SMP business. So therefore, to reflect normalized EBITDA, we have done this adjustment of the startup cost. Also to clarify, as a matter of conservative accounting policy, we do not capitalize these startup costs and we charge them to income statement as an expense item. I move to slide number 9, which represents the customer portfolio of the company. Inner circle represents the customer split for the previous 9 months and the outer circle represents the customer split for the current 9 months. On an overall basis, the revenue growth is 12% and we see that some of the customers are showing a significant growth, which is largely Daimler, and Daimler has moved from 8% of the total revenue of SMRP BV to 13% of SMRP BV revenues, and this is because of some start of new platforms in China and Germany. We move to slide number 10, which again gives a geographical breakup of our revenues. While Germany continues to be the strongest market, but with the growth coming in USA, Mexico and China, geographical footprint is also getting much more balanced. In China, we have started a new plant in Beijing in the current year. In Mexico, we have started again a new plant for SMP in Chitlaltepec. And in USA, we significantly expanded our existing plant for the mirror business in close to Detroit. Slide 11 represents the status of trade working capital of the company. Number of days on working capital has shown improvement from 22 days in December 15 to 19 days in December 16. And due to launch of new projects having amortization recovery over program life, we see there is an increase in non-current receivable increasing from 5 days to 7 days, and also on account of higher engineering revenue and unsold engineering inventory, which is classified as revenue under IFRS under percentage of completion method, the receivable days also has marginally increased from 44 days to 47 days. Slide number 12 represents the detail of capital expenditure of the group. Total capital expenditure which was incurred in 9 months is 214 million euros. SMP incurred 157 million euros capital expenditure and SMR incurred 57 million euros capital expenditure. Important again to note here on this slide is that approximately 66% of the capital expenditure amounting to 141 million euro is spent only on setting up new greenfield or expanding the existing plant, which is like a brownfield expansion. Slide number 13 gives the detail on the cash flow movement during the 9 months ended December 16. Operating profitability continues to be strong, generating cash flow of 252 million euros. Changes in working capital, as we already explained in the previous slide, consumed 158 million, which is largely on account of higher accounts receivable. Income tax paid for the quarter for 9 months was 42 million euros. Cash outflow on account of capital expenditure was 171 million euros. And cash flow from financing activity reflects bond proceed of $400 million bond, which was partly used for repayment of certain revolving credit facilities. Interest payment for the period was 27.3 million euros. And closing cash balance as on 31st December was 337 million euros. I move to slide number 14, which gives details of cash and debt status of the company. Gross debt of the company has increased largely due to the US dollar bond issuance, which was done during the current year. And if you look at the net debt, because there was significant cash as on 31st December amounting to 337 million euros, the net debt of the company was at 698 million euros. This increase in net debt is again largely due to the increased business operation because of the capital expenditure and the working capital. And important again here to note is that despite increase in the net debt, the net leverage ratio has improved from 2.24x, which was in December 15, to 2.16x in December 16. We move to slide number 15, which gives detail on the liquidity status of the company. As on 31st December 2016, company had access to liquidity of 683 million euros, which was represented through unutilized portion of the committed revolver credit facilities and cash equivalent of close to 337 million euros. Gross and net leverage ratio were also lower than the threshold. Gross leverage was at 3.18x against a threshold of 3.5. And net leverage was at 2.16, against a threshold of 3.25. If you look at the maturity profile of the debt status, there is not too significant maturity in the next 4 years, and all the debt which we have taken has been designed, you know, to look at the current business expansion of the group, and we see maturity coming in year 4 to 5, which is largely our current bond offering. Slide number 16 to slide number 20 gives information on the new facility. So if you look at slide number 16, this is our new greenfield plant for SMP business in Tuscaloosa in state of Alabama in USA. Expected date of start of this plant is quarter one in FY19. But due to the customer requirement, this plant and along with Kesh Chemist plant, which is again a greenfield plant, we have to be ready in all respect at least 1 year before the launch of the commercial production, which would mean that this plant would be ready by the end of next year in all respect. Slide 17 gives the status of expansion in Mexico for the mirror business. So this is an expansion with a new paint shop, which we are setting up in Mexico. Slide number 18 gives the status of greenfield plant under construction at Kesh Chemist in Hungary for SMP business. Expected date of start of this plant is quarter four of next year, FY18. Slide number 19 gives the status of expansion in Hungary for the mirror business. We are setting up a new paint shop to meet customer requirement catering to the new order. Slide number 20 shows the real status on relocation of an existing plant for the mirror business in Korea. And this is again very, very important because we do a couple of vertically integrated components for the mirror business. And this expansion is not only going to help the mirror business in a big way, but it is also going to modernize the current manufacturing facilities. With this, I would like to conclude my presentation and hand it over back to Mr. Vaman Sehgal. Vaman, over to you.
Thanks, Vipin. I just wanted to make one correction on slide 20. At the bottom, you see operational Q1 17-18. It's actually going to be at the start of Q2. So sorry about that, but that's a small correction that we have on the presentation. With that, thanks for that taking us through that, Vipin. I can hand it back to Charge, please, to open the question and answer session.
Thank you very much, Vaman. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone keypad now. If you change your mind, please press star followed by two. When preparing to ask your question, please ensure your phone is unmuted locally. Our first question of the day is from Tatil Singh from Nomura. Tatil, please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. I wanted to check on the CapEx. We've talked about 140 million for greenfield and brownfield. So does it make sense that remaining amount, whatever is there, is the maintenance CapEx? So about 70, 75 million would be the maintenance CapEx for 9 months?
Yeah, Vipin, you can answer that in the number exactly, but definitely it could be for the customer orders for some of the tooling and definitely for the rest of the months that are coming. As you know, there are a lot of new facilities that are coming up, so they will be used up in the coming quarter as well.
And just to add to what Vaman has mentioned, you know, when we define the greenfield or the brownfield CapEx, we define the CapEx which is going into setting up a new plant or setting up a new paint shop. But even within the remaining CapEx, which is 214 minus 141, I would say that this would be a combination of, number one, the maintenance CapEx. But again, a larger part of this would be for the new project within the existing plant. So we already have 48 manufacturing plant, and within this 48 manufacturing plant, you already have new orders, which would be either a replacement order or maybe new orders within the existing facility, which we don't define separately. So the remaining portion would be a combination of maintenance, but then also a large part would be for the new project in the existing plants.
Oh, okay. So can you give us a sense of what would be the annual maintenance CapEx for SMR PBV and what is the CapEx you're looking at for next year?
So the annual maintenance CapEx, you know, just to put a ballpark number, you know, because we don't track per se, you know, this category of a maintenance CapEx. But again, you know, just to give you a sense in case that helps, that number helps, it should be in the range of like 40 to 50 million euro, you know, and we are talking about 48 manufacturing plant. So this is, you know, our maintenance capex, which, you know, as per my estimate would be there. And in terms of the capex guidance, as we all know that we are setting up new greenfield, which is, you know, in Tuscaloosa as well as Kecskemét, plus the order book is also very strong at 11.9 billion euro, which we declared in the last quarter. So we are again looking at new, you know, expansion in the existing plant. We are looking at a capex of in the range of average 250 to 260 million euro over the next 2-3 years. And if you look at the current year capex at 214 for 9 months, we are well within the range of the guidance which we have been giving to the market.
Okay, okay. And sir, is there any more clarity on the acquisition that we have done? Like what would be, you know, in terms of revenue size, et cetera, or in terms of the benefit that we expect, that anything more that you can share?
So are you referring to the Kobek acquisition?
No, the Cellusa.
No. So that is not an acquisition. That is already an existing joint venture for SMRP BV. So CEFA is the name as we call it, and this is a company which is in Spain. They do the similar products. So they also do door panel and instrument panel for, again, the automotive component. It is a 50-50% joint venture company. Earlier, the board composition was also 50-50%, but with now more and more synergies coming from the SMP businesses, we have got now the majority control of the board. So there is no change per se in terms of the financial arrangement. We still hold 50%, but then there would be a change in the way we do the consolidation. So there is no new acquisition per se. It is existing joint venture company, and it is not a very, very sizable business. So the revenue of this company would be in the range of ballpark 100 million euros on annualized basis.
Okay. And sir, on Kobek?
Kobek is a very small company. They are, you know, it's more of a technology company, I would say. And the revenue of Kobek was hardly a million euro. And this company is into the lighting solution. So the purpose or the rationale of this acquisition was to give more, you know, vertical integration to the product, which SMP is doing, and to integrate the lighting technologies into the new model for the all the OEM customers.
Oh, okay. It's slightly difficult to understand what exactly is the technology here. So can you just explain this, you know, in terms of what is this silk screen
printing? I can take that. It's more on the printing of LED solutions. So currently the system that we use to bring a lot of these LEDs, if you look at the interiors of the luxury cars now, you'll see a lot of lighting systems in the cockpit itself. So it's to bring a lot of these new technologies for lighting into the cockpit, which adds on synergies to our main product.
Okay, okay. Thanks.
And the manufacturing process is completely unique. It's a printing process which we haven't seen before, and we believe that there's a lot of value to be gained from this.
Okay, okay. Probably, you know, sometime we'll need to come down and see this. Thanks.
Sure.
Our next question is from Richard Phelan from Deutsche Bank. Richard, please go ahead.
Yes, hello. Two questions, if I might. I know that you partially answered this on the consolidated group's conference call, but for the bondholder group, I'm wondering if you could quantify the potential impact of the border tax adjustment in terms of the Mexico production and the new plant that you have there on the business. That's the first question.
Okay. So basically, for us, I as we explained on that earlier call as well, we are supplying to the car makers locally in the region. And a lot of the programs that we are supplying to the car makers are making that as a global hub for export. So we have not seen any changes from any of the car makers on any of those programs. You have to understand that car makers are a global company. We have bases in Mexico. We have also facilities, as you can see, coming up in the U.S. So each will cater to its own market demand. We haven't seen any change coming from the customers because of any of those announcements.
Okay, and no risk in terms of the ramp up of the new Mexican facility in terms of production or risk to that site?
No.
Okay, great. And the second question was really related just to acquisitions. You have announced some very small acquisitions within the bondholder group at the beginning of the year, but the larger group, you know, arguably is much more active. You know, with some notable bids recently of greater scale. What type of businesses or scale might of acquisitions might you target for the bondholder group, or is there a targeted leverage that you'd like to remain within for the bondholder group?
So we are always assessing acquisitions, but we are definitely very conscious of those limits that we have said to the market very clearly, and we're not planning to do anything that will exceed any of those limits. At the moment, as you can see, we have multiple plants that are coming up for being set up, and that's our priority. We have a tremendous order book, like we can just explain, of 11.9 billion. So that is, again, our focus for these companies at the moment, to execute these large order books and to show to the customer that all the new plants are exactly as per their expectation. And, of course, if the customer gives us some opportunities, we will be. Yet, there's nothing at the moment that we can disclose to the market or in any point where you know, we believe that there will be something. When the right time comes and there's something on the card, we will definitely share it with you.
Okay. And in the context of the 2.16 times net leverage at year end, you know, how comfortable would you be if you know, an attractive acquisition came up that fit and complemented the bondholder group as opposed to the broader group?
Well, sir, we've always stated that you know, we do have 2020 targets which we will aim for, but you know, it's also with the ROEs of 40%. So definitely, when that right opportunity comes up and it has all the right ingredients, it's something to be studied at. But it would be premature for me to kind of, you know, second guess what's really coming up, because, like I said, at the moment, there's really nothing to share in any of these groups in terms of those large acquisitions that could really turn some of these numbers in that direction. So I would refrain from, you know, really second guessing that.
Understood. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Look, if I might add very clearly, as we have stated always and always, as we did during the bonds as well, our internal thresholds is 2.5 times net debt to EBITDA. And even on a post-acquisition construct, we would like to be within that range. And now, for whatever reasons, if it needs to get exceeded, as we have always mentioned, it can only be done at a short-term basis. And if it is going to get exceeded on a longer duration, we will seek support from the parent.
Understood. That's very helpful. Thank you.
Our next question is from Chirag Shah from Edelweiss. Chirag, please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. Just a clarification on the CAPEX. You indicated 250 million kind of a ballpark number. That is per annum or over a period of next 2 to 3 years?
No, Chirag, this is per annum. So per year, we are looking at an average CAPEX in the range of 250 to 260 million euro per annum.
This includes everything.
Please note, we are talking about the current order book. When we did the bonds last time, we had said around about 200 to 250 million of CAPEX would be done each year for the next 2 to 3 years. That's what it is. This is the second year of that CAPEX, and the final year will follow the following year.
So, but this includes even. Sorry. Yep. Now, I was saying this includes even tooling and all everything, right?
This includes all form of CAPEX, not tooling. Tooling is working capital. That lies in the working capital bucket.
Okay. So,
includes maintenance CAPEX as well as all program-related CAPEX.
Okay. So, but you don't envisage for the existing order book any new major greenfield or going into a new geography? So, and the CAPEX would be more of brownfield in nature?
As of now, for the 11.9 billion order book, there is no further CapEx anticipated over and above what we have planned for.
So, yeah, for most of the data.
All of them are already, as you can see, there is no more new facilities required for this 11.9 order book. Now, Chirag, if this year we win something else, then that's another decision and something that we will again study. But at this time, for the 11.9 billion, there is no more facilities that we need to expand or to put up new in that case.
And Vaman, a question for you. Just the earlier participant has referred to, are there opportunities in mirror and or SMP and SMR business M&A opportunities on the lower side now? Or there is a genuine focus on first meeting the existing order book? How should one look at the thought process?
Chirag, definitely the existing order book is very, very important because that's what we have in hand. The rest of it all is dreams and opportunities. But that doesn't mean that we won't study them or we won't, you know, evaluate the opportunity or, you know, hear the customer's voice if they're looking at us to solve their problem in certain geography or with a certain country or with a complementing product. But these are all live things. They happen concurrently sometimes. Definitely, our most important thing is to keep the customer's lines running, to deliver the new programs to them on time, and that will always be there. But of course, one cannot completely not worry about some of these other things. They keep coming on the platter, and we keep studying them and evaluating them on their merit.
Fair point. And if I can squeeze in one last question on COBEG, would it be right to assume that it was kind of a missing piece in our overall capabilities or something like that, COBEG, and you can hit the ground running immediately, or you need some time for it to integrate and hit the ground running with that?
Yeah, it was definitely a missing piece in terms of our lighting capability for the new technologies that we are assessing. As you can see, it's a very small acquisition, so we don't believe that it will take a lot of time to integrate or anything like that. And we're already engaged with the customers on these technologies and believe that, you know, we can put them into the new programs fairly soon. So, you know, but as you know, any new program that we win now will start after 2 years at least. So, you know, that's the kind of time frame that we will hopefully aim for to get some of these new technologies in as soon as possible. It depends on the requirement, of course, of the car maker and our ability to showcase that these technologies can come up very quickly and up to the expectation, and we're working on that.
And I missed on what kind of revenue currently it has. You did indicate something, right?
So
okay,
it is only,
current revenue?
Yeah, it is only 1 million euro. It's a very, very small company.
Okay, it's a very small company. And it doesn't help you in the existing 11.9 billion order book. It's for ongoing, the next leg of order book that you will win, it will help you over there.
Those orders are already given,
huh? Already given, yeah. Already given, yeah. Great.
This is for future, yeah.
Yeah, this was really helpful. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you.
Our next question is from Harsh Agbal from Deutsche Bank. Harsh, please go ahead.
Hi, I have a couple of questions, Vaman, for you, if you can help. You know, one is not to overbeat on this topic, right, but I'm just curious, when you talk to your customers, your biggest customers, is there any concern on, you know, what's going on with Trump and his rhetoric on Mexico and taxes and what have you? And the second question was, you know, just curious, any interesting new trends that you're seeing in recent months that, you know, we often tend to miss out as analysts, you know, to focus on numbers. So just curious if any sort of bigger picture trends that you're seeing emerge in the industry, you know, in the last few months, if you can share, that would be great. Thanks, Roman.
Okay. I think the first one, really, we have not seen any change. I think you'll understand that these programs that we are supplying to and the new facilities that we are building in Mexico and in the U.S. Are quite sizable for the program that are going to be produced by the car maker in that geography. Some of those are also global programs. So, you know, it's very difficult for them to kind of split up the program and say, okay, you know, this one will only be manufactured here or there. They've taken a decision, and then that global platform will be manufactured from there. So, you know, it's really hard for us to really comment how they're thinking about it. But from their side, they have given us no change in any of those production schedules. Everything is ramping up as per the original plan. They have not told us, you know, we would like to think about this or come back to you or anything like that. Everything is confirmed, is on track. And our progress, as you can see, the plants are also ready for those launches. We don't believe at this point there's any change that is also going to be coming, because these are not something that you can change just over the night, because you can imagine the long lead times to produce these programs, tool these programs, PPAP these programs, and then of course, do the production runs and trial runs for the full volume ramp up. They're really, really significant. So I don't think any short-term, things can really happen for the programs that we have already won and that we have to supply to in the immediate future. So I hope that gives you a lot more color on
sure.
the question that you asked me. And from the second aspect, I think it's important to see that, I think you guys as analysts have a much more macro view on all the numbers. We guys probably only are looking at the automotive numbers, but, you know, there are positive indications of bottoming out in some markets. They're coming out, we are enthused to see that, you know, Brazil is not dropping as much as it was in the last previous months. U.S. is very, very strong. That's coming up. I mean, the really general trends that you're seeing that I think that you identify as well. They're actually being reflected in the numbers as they are coming from the company as well. Really nothing out of the ordinary that I'm seeing that I don't think you guys are able to see. There are a lot of positive news that are coming, and we are fairly upbeat about this year.
Okay, fair enough. And just one housekeeping question, just to confirm, your capex guidance of 250 to 260 is on an incurrence basis, right? But I can see your cash capex has tended to be lower, I guess, because of the new plants being constructed.
For Harsh, you know, if you look at on slide which is on the trade working capital, you can also see a movement in the long term
yep.
trade creditor. So because in the construction
yep.
phase, there is always an approval phase. You know, you are setting up a new paint
Correct.
Shop. So when we say 250 to 260, I would say it can be on cash as well as incurrence, because then it becomes a cycle. Your trade creditor would
right.
be paid off in the coming quarter. So we don't see a significant change in the trade creditor or the long-term trade creditor because of these capexes.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
As a final reminder, ladies and gentlemen, to register a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad now. We currently have no further questions on the line.
Okay, I guess we've been able to answer all your questions. Thank you so much for your support. As always, the team is committed to being there to answer any follow-up questions if you guys do have that. The email and the website is there for you to contact us and get in touch in case there are any follow-up questions. Thank you for your support, and look forward to speaking to you guys in the next call. Thank you very much for your time, and I thank my team as well.